question this morning. Tell me about the blood of Jesus. I really appreciate that. That's probably it's all about Jesus. Worship Him and thank Him for what He's done for us. You know, without Him, we have nothing. We have no hope of any solution or any remedy outside of Jesus Christ. But the answer to us would be this way. Trust is making up Him. And worship, continue to worship God. And find some words to encourage us and to carry us on and walk with Jesus Christ. And you know what? It might sound to go out of the way. You know, to be born of God this morning. You know, I need someone to pray for me.
We still have words before you this morning. We bless you, Father, for the great salvation we have in your Son. We thank you, Father, that you've loved us. And Father, you've set your eye upon us. We're here this morning in your presence, desiring to hear from you. And Father, I lift up Brother Jeremy as he preaches the word. What a privilege, what an awesome responsibility. It's a joy, Father, to have your word in our hands. It's holy. You are holy, Father. We're here this morning, oh Father, because of the blood of Jesus. Father, it's not because we have enough for it. We've heard that already. We couldn't do it, Father, but you could. We place our faith and trust in you. Father, I pray you'd strengthen Brother Jeremy's hands, Father. Strengthen his knees, Lord. Give him wisdom, Father, as he goes through the message. Beyond his heart, Father, that you deliver this to our hearts. Change us, Father. Change us. Establish us in faith and truth, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray that you would fear anyone, but you preach the truth as it is, Father. Father, fearlessly for your glory. May you be glorified, Father, in this meeting. Bless your precious word. You have already, in Jesus' name. Amen.
One Sunday in my church, it was a fairly rich church, I guess. It was a church that had, hand carved pews, stained glass windows, plush carpet, and everyone was dressed appropriately. It was without the big clothes on. Just as the music was playing, and just as everyone was the service was beginning, the door was back and the man walked in. And this man looked like he didn't fit at all. He went home, he just went off his horse from his rally at the town that morning. He had a flannel shirt and overalls and boots on. He didn't fit into the picture for this of his church at all. And everyone was like, they were like, horrified. Like, they didn't dare come to a church just like that. And then he'd come up and ask him to preach, and he'd be like, so should we do something about this? And he'd ask him, how appropriate to be in our church? And the service went on, and after the service, the pastor came in there, and he said, did you continue the service? Something he said, I did. He said, I really like the music. And the pastor talked to the Lord, he said, if you're doing that, well, how do you talk to Jesus about how you dress for church? And see what Jesus had to say about the way you should dress for the church. And the next Sunday, the Lord came back to that Sunday, he was dressed the same way. And the preacher agreed with me at the service, and everyone was really quite now that this man was there twice the same way. And the preacher talked to the man, and he said, did you talk to Jesus about how to dress? He said, yeah, I did. The last time I spoke to Jesus. And he didn't even know how much he has to come here, but he's never been here. That's an hour. That's a story. It's a great story, but it's not a sister. But, because Jesus came to our church. Because Jesus came to me. church. What church is this looks like? It is not a church. It's possible to have church. It's possible to get together for something. And he's not here. Do you believe that? Do you think that's possible? You know, I'm not talking about the Church of Jesus Christ, but the universal body of Christ around the world, all over the world. Everybody that's a born again disciple of Christ, that is less than one Christ, that's the last time I heard that, is part of the church, right? And Jesus is a difference. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the local gathering of the local church, you know, local bodies of believers that gather together. That's what I'm talking about. Also, I think it's the other in a way that Christ will not be here. First of all, just a few words of who Jesus is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 15-23. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things are created. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who are once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh, by his death, and were presented holy and blameless, under him before him, if indeed you continue in the face, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I call that you may minister. Jesus is the Creator. He is the all-powerful one. He is he that we worship. He is the head of the church. You know, Jesus was walking along the water past the man. What church would he attend? is Jesus looking for? You know, so a lot of things that I mentioned in those verses, you know, a lot of them are outward things. And there's a verse that I thought of in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord went to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart and blindness toward him. The kingdom is perfect for him. But God has got an eye for running to and fro through the whole earth to find a heart. A heart that is perfect toward him, that is blindness toward him. And that's where it starts. We'll find that as we follow this, we will find the answers to the questions that I've already mentioned. But it's as a heart is perfect. That's where it starts. A heart that's perfect for God. That means a heart that's, you know, come to Christ with humility and humbleness and casting our all of him and realizing it's him alone, his God alone that can satisfy me and find a solution for the predicament that we hear. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 11 to 24. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be ashamed of the evil one or his brother. And why do you murder him? Because of his way or his most righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, for the Lord hates you. We know that we have passed our death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not lie, there is not love abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that a murderer has no life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, he closes his heart against him, how does he live in him? No, children, let us not love in word or thought, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are not of the truth, and we are sure of our hearts before him. For whatever our heart condemns us, God is quite in our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, the Spirit he has given. It says in verse 27, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him, that we believe in the name of the Son Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he has commanded. So we have confidence before God. Our heart knows we have confidence before God. Whatever we ask and receive from him, because we keep his commands, keeping the commands of God, and loving one another are two key elements here. Keeping the commands of God. As we keep the, as we know the love of Jesus, he talks about the sense of the love of Jesus, and knowing the love of Jesus, and we know Jesus loved us because he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us, so we know his love. By that very deed of love, he came to the earth and he gave his life for us, for you and for me. That we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him. And he and that, but as we know, he abides us, but the Spirit is given us. Love of God in our lives is crucial to experience finding. We have some questions, but here's the thing with that. That is, you have to know God in our lives. It's very, very important. You know, you have to remind him about something that's not going to share. Churches one time, he said, he's from the New York City, from the States, and he's a teacher, a Bible teacher from Bangalore, he's one of the members of the church in Bangalore, India, and he comes to the preacher from the church in the United States Academy, and he's a church leader from Bangalore, so the church in Bangalore, all sisters will come to us, all the time, that's what I say. I'm going to say, promise that he'll cleanse them. You know, what I'm going to say is, I'm not suggesting that the church has just said, so it's much more than the Christians. But I mean, these things are actually not just, you know, describe what's not quite for our lives. In any sense, what does the Bible say? The self-results. The self-results. It starts with the courageous. If you can have it, you know, you all see, I've seen beautiful, warm visions of you know, church government running smoothly. But when you really scan it, when you find out that it's not what I look like, that's not really being shared abroad in the organization of the markets. So we have to start the right place. If you and I are so inclined to look at these things that we think are important, but God says, you have to come up with Christ. That love has to be our hearts. That's where it starts. John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. Jesus spoke these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Jesus has authority over all flesh. First of all, Jesus would see that church that you come to, that is a true church of Christ, it is that Jesus is the authority. Thank you. scriptures would have the people on the world. They're all in heaven. What does it mean to be out of the world? You know, in my background, and tell me about how to say, the whole rest of this comes to your mind. So what it means to be woke. I mean, you know, bless life. So that's our own concept, I think. You know, the world that we have, you and I need to guard against the world that you might need to be part of, starts in our lives. That's what it starts. It's the desires of my flesh. I want to go out and I want to satisfy my mind. I want to feel good. I want to do things that I feel good. And that's the world. Again, some of the things that we classify the world as, maybe they don't even know what's going on. But we need to deal with the social problem. You know, if I was a member desire to satisfy my flesh in my heart, and I just make all kinds of barriers around me to protect me from the world, I'm still worldly. I just don't live worldly. Or at least not sometimes. You know, I train myself to you know when and where to show the worldliness in my heart. But you know, God wants us to deal with the worldliness in our hearts. You know, where worldliness is it's like we're pursuing, you know, things that are not things to God. You know, anything that pleases me but doesn't bring glory to God is worthless. You can't make it, but move on from that. Deal with it. You can't. It has to be, and I say, deal with that you're not in my heart. In your heart, it has to be dealt with that way. James chapter 4.
Whoever is the will of God, if I deny the will of
Sometimes there's differences in your brain, I want that love Jesus.
To see the vision of what you want your church to be, Lord, and help every one of our hearts to be passionate for so much. That we would be the church you've called us to be, wherever that is, in whatever assembly, any place in the world. You have called us to be that the world may know that you are God, and that you have saved, and you have been ready to save everyone. Work in our hearts, work in our hearts to make these truths real and powerful. And we can deal with these issues and bring out worldliness in the size of our hearts and turn your life flooding to our hearts, Lord. Give us our vision, God, that our life lives completely for you, and that we personally and then as a body can be a church that you would attend and you would say, I want to be here. You will fellowship with us. Fellowship together, God. Not that you're not already doing that, Father, but as you grow, Father, it would be more and more real, more and more deep and deeper in our hearts. God, we worship you, thank you for your great love. I want to lift you in high today, Lord. Jesus.